You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome back.
Hello. Hello, Joshua.
Welcome.
What do you think about this idea of ambition? What do you think about this idea of having goals, making things happen, creating reality in the way that you think you like it? What do you think about living the ideal life? What does that look like to you? Does living the ideal life mean compiling a list of achievements, of bringing forth and creating and manufacturing physical things that are contained outside of you, looking good to others, perceiving that you have life better than others do, perceiving that you know how to make things happen in order to make yourself happy, waiting for things to manifest so that finally you'll feel achievement and status and goals? Or do you have a new idea about life now? Are you understanding that everything that you want exists within you and that reality is simply a reflection of that which exists inside right now? And why would it be this way? Why would reality be a mirror to the vibration you're offering? Well, if you were trying to make things happen in order to live the good life and one day have this level of success where all your fears were eased and you were living in what you thought was this life of bliss based on what the reality was showing you, well, then you'd go off in a certain direction and you would say, I need to have this in order to feel good. I need to make this happen in order to feel good. I need respect and love and admiration from others so that I can feel good. Yet reality isn't designed that way. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of reality is simply to discover who you are as an aspect of Source itself. Now, those two ideas are somewhat conflicting, aren't they? Because if you're going out there and trying to establish yourself as a successful person in order to get feelings that you feel are missing from yourself, well, you're just going down a path of resistance, a path of control, a path that will lead to the understanding that nothing you want exists outside of you. And so we say this is a very valid way to explore physical reality. But what you're doing is you're exploring all the aspects of you that are not true, a false version of yourself. Who you are is perfection. Who you are is magnificent. Who you are is a brilliant, shining light, a aspect of Source that can be seen from one perspective. That's your perspective, and no one else can see you from that perspective. It is not possible. No matter what you do and what you try to make happen, no one can see you from the perspective that you can see yourself. And so this is a big idea here, and we're trying to play with nuances so that you can better understand what the purpose of life is. Now, if you're going along with the standard ideal of what life should be, you're going to be exploring all the ways that you are not being authentic. And in that exploration, you're going to face manifestation after manifestation event because your true desire was to live as the authentic version of you, as that perfect aspect of Source, living in physical reality, discovering moment by moment by moment who you truly are, unique to you, with only your perspective to rely on. Because no matter what others think of you, which you can never know, no matter what they think of you, you can't see yourself from their perspective. It's impossible. And you don't want to see yourself from their perspective because their perspective is based on their unique perception of reality. And everyone has a unique perception of reality. So in essence, everyone is living as this aspect of source, figuring out who they are or who they're not as they move along this journey of self-discovery. That's what physical reality is. It's an environment that allows you to see who you are, what you're vibrating, who you're being in order to discover more about yourself. And so when you return to the non-physical, you'll have this complete story of who you were being, how you were operating, and what you manifested out of that. So you could spend your entire life manifesting things outside of you in order to make you feel something you don't feel now. Or you could be moving towards who you truly are, who you authentically are, and receive feedback every step along the way that allows you to know that you are moving towards the fulfillment of that authentic version of you. Or you are moving away from that fulfillment of the authentic version of you in pursuit of something that does not, that you do not feel inside you right now. One life is full of conflict and stress and dis-ease. And the other life is full of joy and satisfaction and fear and manifestation events. Yet, as you move along towards who you are in joy and ease and faith that things will unfold as they need to unfold, you will have feedback telling you where you're falling short. And this feedback you can use as a corrective measure to adjust your vibration through the processing of limiting beliefs. Does that make sense? So if you live this life dedicated to being who you authentically are, dedicating to moving each day in joy along this path of self-discovery without needing anything outside of you to manifest in order to make you feel something you do not feel now, understanding that there is no lack, it's full abundance, there are no limitations, the only limitations are self-imposed. And so as you're living this life, moving towards who you truly are, and you face a manifestation event, you do not despair. Because you appreciate the fact that that manifestation event is simply showing you a limiting belief. That's the feedback that you get. And so you understand the information contained in that manifestation event. You adjust your beliefs by doing the work to process whatever limiting belief that comes up. And you say, okay, thank you, universe. I understand now that who I was being in that moment was not the authentic version of me. And so now I can course correct, make a little adjustment in my vibration through the processing of that limiting belief, and continue along my journey, not to make anything happen, but to discover more fully who I am. That's the purpose of life, to discover more fully who you truly are. And who are you truly? You are truly a limitless and magnificent being of pure positive love and acceptance. So anytime you are on that exploration of who you are, you will come into manifestation events pointing out that you're just doing something or approaching life in a way that is not in alignment with who you truly are. Good. You want to know that. But what happens if you are out there trying to live the ideal Western life by manufacturing appreciation and respect and love from outside of yourself and some form of success and achieving some sort of goals and that sort of thing? Well, you'll get the same manifestation events pointing out that you are not becoming the authentic version of you. And you won't understand what the information is because you are focused on a completely different direction based on a approach of control. And instead of realizing that the wobble is within you, you will assume that the conditions are wrong or the people are wrong. And so instead of making a correction inside yourself, you'll try and change the outside conditions even more or control the other people even more. You see, it is an approach of control, seeking something that is not there within you because you are now based in lack and fear that in order to feel good and have an enjoyable life, you must manufacture this thing outside yourself. This is the approach that most wealthy people in the world today are living life. The approach of, I will have success because I was told that this bettering myself, this self-improvement idea, is necessary to achieve the quote-unquote perfect life. And yet you see that nobody who approaches this life makes that happen. There are some who go with the flow of life pursuing passions and allow that to come into fruition because they are allowing the authentic version of who they are to unfold naturally without trying to change the conditions. They somehow realize that it's all within. But the vast majority of those living in Western cultures are trying to make things happen outside of themselves, and they're following an approach of control that can never work. And so in this discovery of self, what they're actually doing is discovering who they are not. Now, at some point, they may figure out that this approach isn't working, and they may seek an alternative approach. And that's where you all come in. That idea that the outside appearance of your life means nothing, and that the only thing that ever matters is how you feel in joy and ease of this expansion towards who you authentically are. As you live that example, others will find you. They will seek you. They will unknowingly be led to you through the law of attraction. And when you see yourself as this shining example of alignment, then you radiate information. You radiate true excellence. You radiate calm and ease. You radiate your own innate perfection. And you no longer seek to improve yourself or to others or change the conditions or change the people. You seek primarily to create a more satisfying life for yourself above all else in this following the simple journey towards understanding more of who you truly are. And guess what happens when that happens? You attract others who want to do the same thing because eventually they'll realize at some level that their old approach to life cannot, will not, and will never work. And they see how you care less about the outside conditions. You care less about how you're perceived. You care less about goals. You care less about anything else in physical reality other than how you feel. This is a feeling reality. Nothing will ever matter more than how you feel. And if you can start feeling good, and if you can start to go inside yourself, then you will see how things wonderfully manifest to bring you joy and satisfaction. And that is the purpose of life. That is a successful life. And with that, we would love to talk to you. Who would like to start?
Let's go back to that seeing self as a shining example of alignment. I get there, but then
how are you not a shining example of alignment right now?
Well, I think I am outwardly, but inwardly I'm processing deeper and deeper limiting beliefs.
So you're living your life along your journey of self-discovery, mm-hmm. thinking you're not there yet.
Yeah, I think so.
And when will you be there?
I don't know. I know I'll never be there. I'll never be there. I get that. I'll never.
So all you are, as you seek the journey, the more detailed exploration of who you really are, that is the shining example of alignment.
Okay.
As opposed to one who seeks things outside of themselves. You see, mm-hmm. You are a great and powerful leader and spiritual teacher. Mm-hmm. And you do this by focusing on your own reality and your own journey. And in doing that, you will radiate this example of alignment outwards. And in your journey, you will do a lot of different things. You will face your own manifestation events. You will seek improvement. You will seek more deeper understanding of who you are. And you will attract others who seek what you are doing. What you're doing happens to be a course of action that is consistent with great spiritual leaders and teachers. Not by expounding your knowledge out to the masses who aren't ready for it, but by focusing yourself on your path of self-discovery. And part of that path of self-discovery is to discover who you are as a spiritual leader and teacher. Now, for you specifically, there's a dichotomy there. Because in your understanding of what a spiritual leader and teacher is, you say, well, they have it all figured out. And once I have it figured out, then I can be a spiritual leader and teacher. I have to have it figured out first. And that is absolutely the exact opposite of how the system works. You see, you teach through your exploration of who you are. And part of that exploration just happens to be running across people who will want to know what your approach to life is. Because that approach to life is just more effective. It is just in the proper direction. It is a discovery of self, of who you truly are, not a discovery of who you're truly not. That's the only difference.
Right.
So your perception of what a teacher is different from what a teacher really is.
And I would imagine the people that are attracted to me will also help me along my path.
Their only reason they're attracted to you is help you along your path. Okay. You're not here to help them. Oh. You're here as part of they come to you as part of your journey of self-discovery, your journey of self-discovery. And what they get is what they get. You're not in control of that anyway, because you have no ability to create in their reality. They become a vibrational match to you. You become a vibrational match to your idea of yourself as a spiritual leader and teacher. And then the universe works it out where you come in contact with each other. But see, you're leading and teaching right now without anyone in your reality. Because whether they're present or not makes no difference. You see, they may hear a story about you, and that's you teaching. They may watch this video 20 years in the future, and that's you teaching. They don't have to be in your physical presence. They don't have to be in a classroom. They could be, but they don't have to be. You do it from a soul level, and you connect at a soul level. And so whether they're in your physical reality or not makes no difference. You simply focus on your journey of self-discovery, and things will happen. Whether you're even aware of it, it doesn't matter. So imagine yourself as the greatest spiritual leader and teacher. In that case, what do you do? Do you go out and find people to teach, or you live your life as you intended prior to your birth, which is a exploration of who you are as an aspect of source? You put your head down, you focus on inside, you focus on how you feel, you focus on whatever your manifestation events are, and then you'll be inspired to whatever needs to happen so that you will be moved further along your journey towards your authenticity.
I like that approach. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I like that. I don't want to have to go out and seek, because that just seems like the old approach to me, which now you're saying that is the old approach of trying to control it versus allowing it.
Allowing it. You see, when you raise your vibration enough, you will have an inspiration. When that inspiration comes, you'll have fear. You'll say, my perception of what a leader and teacher is different than this that's happening. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have to change your limiting belief around who a spiritual leader and teacher is. You see, almost all spiritual leaders and teachers that you're aware of were existing in an approach of control.
Right.
And so they wanted to control how people viewed them, because they believed also that they had to have it figured out. So they presented an image of them having it figured out. Well, you'll notice that that is less and less the case. Mm-hmm. That was more the case decades ago. And mm-hmm. it's becoming less and less the case. And those on a true spiritual path do not need to judge the teacher in order to see the teacher as valid. They simply receive the information and look at the information and not that person who's giving the information.
Okay. That resonates.
And the only thing that will give you that fear is if you think that you have to be a representation of the information.
Right.
Yet you could never be the fullest representation of the information because you're still on your path of self-discovery, as is every other teacher. The conflict comes up when you perceive that you should be like this, but you are like this. Hmm. So get rid of the should be and just be who you are.
Okay.
Be as calm and comfortable and happy with who you are now, realizing you'll evolve along the way, and so will your perception of yourself mm-hmm. and your perspective.
It has, yes.
Right, as it has. And you can see it has. Mm-hmm. And just allow yourself to push outside of your comfort zone, to push past that fear, and do the things that make sense on this journey of self-discovery of who you are as a spiritual leader and teacher.
Okay. Yeah, the part that excites me the most is the co-creating. I love the co-creating with other like-minded people.
Excellent. Whatever is exciting to you is the thing that will move you in that direction. Mm-hmm. And anything that's not exciting to you is efforting.
Okay, that makes sense.
Now, there's a nuance there. The efforting, the idea of efforting could be the effort it takes to overcome fear.
Hmm.
That's not effort.
No.
The efforting is doing things you don't want to do because you think it has to achieve some outcome you have planned in your head.
Yes.
That's efforting.
Yes.
So there's moving through your comfort zone, moving past fear, getting really good at moving through fear, gaining confidence that comes with moving through fear, just as you have been doing, mm-hmm. releasing any attachment to any outcome, and releasing any preconceived notion of what others might think of you as a spiritual leader and teacher.
Hmm.
See, you could say, I am Wendy, I am a mother. And that gives you a perception because your idea of yourself as a mother has evolved and now you're comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. You say, here I am, Wendy, as a ballet dancer. And that gives you another idea of who you are as Wendy as you compare yourself to the picture you have in your mind as of a ballet dancer. And so a spiritual leader and teacher is like that, something new. Mm-hmm. But see, you didn't come here to be a ballet dancer. Otherwise, you'd have different interests.
Right.
You right. intended to explore who you were in joy and abundance and freedom, and also in this idea of being a spiritual leader and teacher in this time of awakening.
Hmm. That's interesting. I've had a lot of manifestation events lately that I think they're about me and about my little world, but actually I believe now that they're just expanding me to be more.
All manifestation events are designed to expand your perspective of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that you can
not
see yourself.
Yes.
You can see yourself from another angle.
Yes.
So you say physical reality has time. Each moment in time, you see yourself from another perspective. It has space. Every time you make a move, you see the world from another perspective. It has manifestation events designed to illuminate limiting and beneficial beliefs so you can see yourself from another perspective. If you welcome the manifestation events as much as you can,
yeah.
then you gain the information contained.
Right.
But if you're focused on achieving some desired result, you will say the manifestation is wrong because it's getting in my way of achieving that result. And the manifestation is saying, hold on, that's not the result you want to achieve. You're looking in the wrong direction. Look over here. Change your perspective, and then you'll be led to this life you intended to live. Mm-hmm. Because that life is always calling you. You can't escape it.
Mm-hmm.
Your desires, based on what you think you're lacking, are calling you as well. Mm-hmm. If you ease up on those desires, then the manifestations event around those won't matter. But you can't ease up on this desire to become who you are.
No. It's screaming. It's screaming at me. Okay. Thank you.
Who's next?
Hello?
Hello.
Jindy.
Josh. Hello.
Hello. We can't see you.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. There you are.
So I am about 6 weeks away from finishing this massage, getting a massage license. And so far, it's been a really great experience. But as of recent, there's been a few events that are triggering my fear of safety and security. And it's putting me in a position where I have this fear that ultimately I'm going to be removed from the school. And it's just some things have happened that have made me feel that way. And my question is, so I know that it's fear, and I know that I'm afraid of that outcome, and I know that it's a security thing, and I know it's testing my faith, but it's almost like I'm having just like so much anxiety that I don't even know how to calm myself down or even breathe or focus on anything else, and it's just consuming my mind, and it's really intense to where like I feel paralyzed from the fear.
So what's the fear? The fear that you're not going to be able to complete the massage school?
Yes.
And then if you don't complete the massage school, what's going to happen?
So I rationalize, okay, well, I'll just finish somewhere else. What I don't like about it, what I'm focused on is like the money thing. And like, I've not been working full time and
It seems like you're going down this road where you've been inspired to go into this massage school to put in the time and the money and the work to move yourself along towards the achievement of a goal that you think will bring happiness.
I'm trying to focus on just being happy and not using that as an excuse to be happy. It just seems like a means to an end.
It does seem like a means to an end. Exactly what we're saying.
Believe I can do it without it. It's also part of the system. This is the current system says that in order to practice, you have to have this license. So I'm going with the system.
So is the practice of massage your bliss?
It turns out it is.
And do you do massage all the time now?
No.
And why not?
Because I do about 20% massage and 20% job, which is being around children. And then I do about 10% of this and a 10% of that. So I'm doing a few percentages of a few things.
Okay, so you're doing the things that you're inspired to do. And 20% of it, a good chunk of it, is massage. And when you do massage, you feel bliss.
I do. Okay.
And so the achievement of a license would allow you to charge for the massage.
And gain employment at a you know, right out of school is my I mean, I know you can say that it's just going to show up, but it's not. It hasn't felt that way, I guess, because I had to ask for help to do this. And I don't want to ask anymore.
Right. So what is the, you have 6 weeks to go.
Yes.
And you feel that you may not make the 6 weeks.
I did this weekend and then I had a meeting today and I, you know, fortunately was, not fortunately, but I was reassured that I'm safe.
Yes.
But it wasn't without a weekend of just this like, I would, I'm safe, you're safe and breathe and you're safe and I'm safe and it's not real. And all the things I could tell it over and over, but it just wasn't reducing the fear.
Because you are highly attached to this outcome. You're highly attached to the outcome. Let's take it another way. Let's say that you had $200 million in the bank and you were inspired to do massage. And the same exact thing happened. You entered this course, you're in this course, it's 6 weeks ago, and this event popped up. What would you do then? You wouldn't feel the fear. You would just go to Hawaii and take another course there. It wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
You wouldn't care. So you're blaming, you're perceiving that your entire life, literally the life and death, depends on finishing these 6 weeks because you see no alternative.
I see an alternative, but it's just, I feel that the past 3 years, I'm ready for, well, I'm not ready. I'm just like this. I don't know if I can handle it. Like, I don't know if I'm strong enough to take on that, what would feel like a disappointment.
You managed this for the last 3 years and you've done it every time. So it's always worked out. So there is no need to believe that you couldn't handle whatever's going to happen. And you have to realize that it is just your perception. Your perspective is limited. If you had $200 million in the bank, your perspective would be much higher. And the only difference there is this perspective. So the only thing you can do is say, I felt negative emotion. The negative emotion was telling me that I'm perceiving reality as an illusion. Because if I was perceiving reality as it really is, I'd feel good. Because my perspective would be the same as my inner self's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The negative emotion tells me for sure that I'm perceiving reality as an illusion. I'm placing emphasis on the outcome. I perceive that if the outcome isn't what I think it should be, then it's going to be wrong. And that brings up this fear. The fear is exactly the same as the fear of death in your case, because your perspective is that limited. So the only thing you can do is realize that everything is happening on purpose to show you this limiting belief that you have. And it always comes back to the same story about survival.
Mm-hmm.
It's a survival thing. If you had $200 million in the bank, it wouldn't be a survival thing. You wouldn't care. You care because you perceive it as a survival thing. Yet, you've always survived. You've never not survived. It'll always work out. You always have access to it. You will, in 6 months, you will look back on this and you won't even remember this. You'll have to watch this again to remember the depth of your negative emotion. Because from that perspective, 6 months from now, you look back and you'll say, everything worked out. Thank God it worked out exactly like it did. And you can't know if that means you're going to finish the course or not. But you are so attached. And so when you attach yourself to any outcome, instead of saying what you would say if you had $200 million or what you would say if you knew what was going to happen in the future. So the perspective of having a safety net, right, is a higher perspective that gives you ease. The perspective of a period of time as you look back gives you ease, right? Because now you see the reality of it. It's only that you're think the illusion is true and you're buying into the illusion. You don't believe that your inner self is actually guiding you. You don't believe that your millions of guides and supporters are actually helping you. You perceive that you're there alone in a matter of life and death. And this is simply a limited perspective. If you want to, which you will at some point, rise to being who you truly are, you have to understand that this is just a journey of self-discovery. And maybe you placed yourself on a more intense path than other people did. But that's because there's only one possible reason for that. It's because you are an intrepid explorer. You are above and beyond others. You have the capacity that others do not have. And from these experiences, you're eventually going to get to the point where you too become a great and powerful spiritual leader and teacher. You have to see yourself as that now, and understand that these intense experiences, they're really only intense for you. They wouldn't be intense for other people. They're intense for two reasons. One, based on the trajectory that you put yourself on, and two, based on the design of yourself that you created prior to your birth. And like the others listening to this now, you are highly sensitive, which means that you are highly receptive to inspiration and to the feedback that comes from manifestation events and negative emotion. You understand it. You are seeking relief. You are being brought to where you're going to go step by step right now. And all you're doing right now is resisting it. And one day you'll resist it less. And the reason you'll resist it less in the future is not because you'll have $200 million worth in the bank, or not because you can see the future, but because you will simply have faith, and you will build confidence, because you will stop looking at yourself as a victim, and you will realize that you've gone through all these things before. You'll go through them again. This is the life you chose. It's not an easy life because of the aspects that you set up, the high emotional intensity that you feel, the sensitivity that you feel, and the limited perception of yourself that you gave yourself on purpose prior to your birth through the trajectory that you inherited in your childhood. So all these factors are working together to mold you, to chip away at the unnecessary stuff there so that you can be the shining example of alignment. You got here at a young age. You look around. In this community, you're one of the youngest. And that was intentional, because it gives you the time you need to become who you truly are. And when you emerge as the butterfly that you will become, the great spiritual leader and teacher, you will have a wealth of experiences that will help others going through exactly the same thing you're going through. Remember, the pain is real, but it's based on an illusion. You are fully supported. Nothing can happen to you. Everything happens for you. You are absolutely secure. You focus on how secure you are, how well things are going, how you are moving forward perfectly, and then ease up on your focus of things that are going wrong. Try to see those wrong things from a higher perspective. And we're not saying it's easy by any means. But just notice the intensity of that relates back to the intensity of a limiting belief. And for you to become the butterfly you intended to be, you have to process those beliefs. You have to do the work.
Okay.
We will send you something that will help you on this.
Okay.
In fact, write in a more detailed explanation or description of this issue. We will send you back a written answer that you can reread and a workbook that you can use.
Great. And I will share it in the community.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I'm new to the group, so I just want to make sure, and I apologize if this has already, you know, been gone over. But so what you're saying is every situation that we are in is being presented to us from our inner self to direct us in a certain direction. So even if it's a negative situation, it's being presented by our inner guide so that we move away from that situation?
Yes, we covered this in week 43. You missed that one.
Yes, no, this is my second call, so
he's
I missed a lot.
Joking. He is joking. You'll get that too, or they are.
Yes. So, guidance. When we say guidance, you have inner guidance. Do you feel emotion?
Yes.
Do you feel positive emotion?
Yes.
Do you feel negative emotion?
Yes.
Does something happen in your reality to cause you to feel this emotion? Do events happen?
Yes.
Describe an event. Like it. Describe an event that causes you to feel positive emotion.
A song comes on the radio.
So is the song responsible for your positive emotion? Or are you responsible? It feels like it, doesn't it? It feels like the song causes you to feel the positive emotion.
Yes.
Now, what's happening here is when you hear a song that you like and feel positive emotion, that is due to a beneficial belief, some belief that you have in relationship to that song. It might call back to a time in your life when you were having fun. It might call back to a previous lover. It might call back to friendship. It might call back. And what you're saying is that this song reminds me of how good life is. When you have that thought, how good life is, well, then your inner self is agreeing with you. And in that agreement, you feel positive emotion. That's your guidance. Yes, life is good. Yes, you're seeing reality as it really is. You're on the same page. Now, describe a moment when you feel negative emotion.
Well, it could be the same thing. A song could come on the radio.
Well, let's say something more intense.
A fight with my husband.
So you perceive that your husband caused you to feel negative emotion by something he said.
Yes.
What's actually happening is his statement triggers a limiting belief. And the limiting belief says he should be different than he is, or he's saying something that is wrong, or blah, 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 blah. He should be different than he is. And what you do is you feel fear. The fear. Fear is the response. So all positive emotion is love, and all negative emotion is fear. There's only two emotions, love or fear. Now, the specific thing he says could be jealousy, or could be insecurity, or could be whatever, speaks to a specific limiting belief. And the intensity of your emotion speaks to the intensity of that limiting belief. Because without the limiting belief, whatever that is, whatever he said could not trigger it, could not make you feel negative emotion. You have to have the limiting belief in order to feel the negative emotion. You have to have the beneficial belief. If you had no beneficial beliefs, nothing would be funny. If you had no beneficial beliefs, nothing would bring you joy. But you have overwhelming amount of beneficial beliefs, and you have some limiting beliefs. And so the guidance comes from your inner self. Your inner self is focused on how good life is and how secure you are and how wonderful everything is and how well you're doing. And you have certain limiting beliefs. Now, if you want to become a match to the more authentic version of you, the true version of you, the limitless and magnificent being of pure positive love and acceptance that you are, well, you'll have to diminish the intensity of those limiting beliefs. The universe knows that. If you want to attract what you intended to attract, you have to become a vibrational match to whatever that is. And so in order to become a match to anything that doesn't exist in your life now, you'll have to change your vibration. And you change your vibration simply through the processing of limiting beliefs or through the enhancement of beneficial beliefs. Anytime you feel happiness at anything, you can ramp that up. How good life is, how wonderful the sunset is, how nice it is to be with my husband, how great it is to be living here, how nice it is to be doing this activity, how fun we're all having. You ramp up those beneficial beliefs. I'm so fortunate. I'm so grateful. I appreciate it so much. You ramp up the beneficial beliefs. The same is true of limiting beliefs. You can reduce the intensity of those limiting beliefs. You can't push them away. You see, everything in this reality is attractive. There's no way to get rid of anything. You will always have all your beneficial and all your limiting beliefs. All you can do is adjust the dial. Turn up the beneficial ones, turn down the limiting ones. The reason you turn down the limiting ones is because if you can process that limiting belief, then the next time he says the exact same thing, you'll have a much milder emotion, which indicates a much less intense limiting belief. Which
so how do you reduce the reaction to a limited belief?
You reduce the intensity of a limiting belief by proving it's false. All beneficial beliefs are true. And all, every single one, every limiting belief that you have, that anyone has, that's ever been had by anyone, every single limiting belief is false. And you can prove it false. You can prove it false. So make up a statement that your husband might say that you would react to negatively.
You're always late.
Excellent. So what's the limiting belief?
I'm not good enough.
Or in order to be perceived as good, I must behave in a way that is inconsistent with who I truly am. So,
okay.
So in order to be perceived as good by your husband, you must be on time.
Yes.
So then boil that down, and now it is, I must be good to be loved. So therefore, I'm not good. If I was good, I would be loved. If I was good, I would be accepted. If I was good, I'd receive appreciation. If I was good, all these good things would happen. Since I'm not good, people take love away. They remove love. They remove acceptance. They don't accept me when I'm not good. And therefore, you have to control your behavior. In order to be good, I must be in control at all times. But if you try and control anyone outside of you, any condition, or more especially yourself, well, you're living in the old approach to life of control. You need not do anything to be good. You're inherently good. The reason you get the feedback from reality that you're not good is because you don't see yourself as good. So you say, I am good. I'm wonderful. I'm lovable. I've always been good. How I be does not enable me to receive what I need on the outside from others. I just be who I am, as good as inherently I am good. As good as I am, I can't be anything other than good. It's impossible to be other than good. I'm inherently good. I'm essentially good. I am good. I am love. I'm a being of pure positive love. How they react to me is not them, it's me. So all I need to do is reassess my idea of me as good. I am good. I am good. I'm all that I need to be. I am worthy of anything I desire. I am worthy of love. I accept myself. I accept the conditions. I accept that other people will give me feedback, allowing me to know what I'm thinking of myself. What I'm thinking of myself now is, if I was good, then I wouldn't have to hear these comments. So I have to control how I am at all times. No, you don't. You exactly do the opposite. You allow yourself to be good, and if he says something, you accept that. You accept that not as he's wrong, but as that it's your feeling of yourself. And then you go back and process it again. And you'll only have to process this every day for the rest of your life. That's all. Only once a day. It can't take more than half an hour a day. You have time. And eventually, he'll say things less. It won't matter. He won't care. Because if you accept him, well, who could ask for anything more than that? Because you'll accept him first by accepting yourself. You are good. You can't be any better. Did you know that? This was covered in week 73. You are good. You are perfect. You can't improve. Improvement's not possible. You can see yourself from a higher perspective, but you're not going to be any better. The day you were born, you were perfect as you are. When you were 1 year old, you were perfect as you were. When you could walk, you were perfect then. You were not better than when you couldn't walk. You can just walk now, so you're expanded. When you could talk, you're not better than you were when you couldn't talk. When you could read and write, you're not better than when you couldn't read and write. You're just expanded. You're perfect every day of your life. You're perfect now. There's no room for improvement on perfection. There's room for expansion, but you're not going to be any more perfect. You'll just see yourself, and maybe you'll feel better. But that's not more perfect. maybe you'll feel better. And if you strive to feel better by realizing that everything outside of you is simply feedback, letting you know how you feel about yourself. And when you feel negative emotion, see, your inner self always feels good about you because your inner self is you. Your inner self simply doesn't have any of your limiting beliefs. So who would you be without your limiting belief? Well, you wouldn't care what anyone said. You would think, oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet that I have someone here in my life who is giving me feedback. And that's what your inner self thinks. And so you thank God for your husband to give you feedback. You thank God for everyone in your life to give you feedback. You thank God for the feedback. What would it be like to live in a house with no mirrors? What would it be like to do your job with no mirrors? It would be hard.
It would be hard.
It would be hard. So all they are is mirrors. So you can see how you're thinking about yourself because it's always about yourself.
Thank you.
Excellent. Very good. Would anyone else like to jump in? We have time for one more.
Hi, Joshua.
Hi, Erin.
I'm still processing my beliefs around my four-year-old daughter. And when she has meltdowns, I'm trying to decide which is the stronger limiting belief. Is it that when she makes so many requests and demands, I feel like I'm being walked all over? Or is it that when she is feeling negative emotion, I am worried about what other people think about my success or worth as a parent?
Well, think about the scene where she has a meltdown. Where are you?
Well, for example, this weekend, her cousin had lost something and we were trying to encourage, actually, I didn't really have anything to do with it. My husband was trying to encourage her to give one of hers to her cousin. And then she had a meltdown.
She had a meltdown because she was being asked to be different than she is in order to receive love.
Yes.
She doesn't want to be altered. She doesn't want to be made different than she is. Yes, so her meltdowns are natural. You're going to train her out of those meltdowns, unfortunately. And she will be guided back to this information at one day. And then hopefully she'll get the intensity of her emotions back so that when she perceives something wrong is happening or something that she's being asked to be different than she is or when she's having a manifestation event, she'll feel intense negative emotion and have a meltdown. Everyone else has been numbed out of it. And so meltdowns are your ideal state. You want to have meltdowns. You don't want to get to a point where a manifestation event is just numb. You want to have meltdowns. And so as you're doing this work, you're noticing that your emotions are becoming more intense, which is a very good thing. And so hopefully you have meltdowns too, to notice it's a manifestation event. But describe the scene. Who's in the scene? It's your husband.
Well, I actually wonder if that's a good one to bring up because...
What's the one with the most negative emotion?
I think I need to choose one where it's directly me and her. So, for example, she suggests that she wants ice cream and there's no ice cream place close by. So I suggest, let's go to the coffee shop and you can get an ice drink. And she's like, that's great. She's happy. And then we decide to go to the park. With her drink, I didn't think it was a good idea for her to be jumping in the bike stroller because her brother, 2-year-old, also had a drink, and it was a short walk to the park. But instead of being excited about the park and her drink, she was focused on needing to get into the stroller. And midway there, I realized that I was not being accepting and should have just let her get in. And she got into a full-blown meltdown, and then nothing could fix it. And so I was wondering, okay, do I just need to get used to the fact that she's going to have these meltdowns, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, or is it that I need to accept all of her demands and stop seeing her as wrong.
Well, both of those are true, obviously. But for you to understand where the manifestation event is pointing out, the limiting belief, if it's in public and you're concerned about what others think, then that's what it is. You are worried about what others' opinion of you. Now, that's a natural fear, just like fear of falling off a cliff. It's just irrational. But it doesn't mean you don't have to abide by it. You can still abide by it. It doesn't make you wrong for abiding by it. It doesn't make you wrong for trying to control her because you know what you're doing. And so in that reaction to something that's upsetting you, you do some thing and then you reflect on it later. But there's no wrong in that either. And this is the process that you're doing. So you're doing the process perfectly. You don't have to snap your fingers and morph into this super mother who's just allowing everything and not feeling negative emotion. It's good to feel the negative emotion, good to understand where it is. And if you choose to make a correction midstream and reflect back on that later as if you should have done something differently, well, that's going to cause more intense negative emotion anyway. And it's going to create the momentum of that I'm not perfect kind of mentality. Whereas if you say, okay, here's an opportunity that I can reflect on the day after, what would I do differently? Maybe I would have let her get in the stroller. Maybe I would have done it. Now, are you doing it so that she doesn't have a meltdown? See, that's the thing too. You have to understand.
That's where I'm confused. I don't know which one I'm focusing on. I was focused at the time that I didn't want drinks spilled all over the stroller. So
yes. So there is a nuance there, isn't there? Because certainly it's okay for her to have a meltdown and manifestation event. And there's nothing wrong with that. And certainly it's okay for you to feel negative emotion in reaction to her meltdown. But maybe you're trying to control her meltdowns by allowing more. Instead of
I regretted the non-acceptance because of her negative emotion.
Yes, and now are you motivated now to let her have her meltdowns, or are you motivated to be more accepting so she doesn't have her meltdowns?
So it's so the motivation behind it.
It still comes
myself.
It either comes from love or fear.
Yeah.
I will let her have her meltdowns or let her do things so that she doesn't have her meltdowns. That's the control. High advanced stuff we're talking about here.
You totally made it clear for me. I see that the same action, but different motivation behind it. And exactly. I get it now. I was doing things and still seeing her as wrong, but thinking, well, I'm accepting, but I'm still seeing her as wrong.
Right.
So I got to feel the love and acceptance if I want to offer that, or don't love and accept and be fully accepting of her negative meltdowns.
Exactly. Exactly. There's nothing wrong with that meltdown, and there's no reason to try and control it. You do what you do, it comes up, and you get your manifestation event, she gets her manifestation event. And that's all you have to worry about. And then day number two, you can process it.
Awesome. Exactly. I'm ready to go back at it. Thank you.
Very good. Well, she chose to come in as your child. There's no mistake there. And she chose to come in as highly sensitive so that she would really feel her emotions. No mistake there. And you'll see how wonderfully this presents itself along the way.
Yeah. Excellent. I'm appreciative of that. Thank you.
Well, we are quite convinced this is the most leading edge conversation we've ever had with leading edge creators. And we wish we could continue forever. There is no time, is there? Then we will meet again. And for us, it'll be the same time. With that, we love you and we are complete.
Thank you, Joshua.
We love you.
Thanks, Joshua.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.